Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do a better one for Jesus? Oh, you are not clapping. You are not clapping. Do a better one for Jesus. Add a shout. Hallelujah. 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 Well, it's such a great honor to be here. I want to salute all the men and women of God in the house. And I also want to say a big God bless you to the leadership of this ministry and what you are involved in doing. And I also want to say God bless you for all of you who came to be a part of this program. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that God has something scheduled for you this afternoon. Hallelujah. Oh, how many of you are ready to receive from the Lord? I said, I believe God has scheduled something for you this afternoon. And I pray that you will not miss it in any way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, you are not responding, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I also came with some wonderful friends. Can you just give us a wave? Others are also on their way coming. Can we just spend about 2 minutes just loving Jesus? Please, everywhere you are, if you can just be on your feet and talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Mama Shadabahata. Just love the Lord. Kora baba 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 baba. Manda baba 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 shanda rabakoria baba shanda. Unto you who loved us, Kadabashata, and wash us from our sins with your own blood. And you have made us kings and priests unto God. We celebrate you, Jesus. Kabarabashanda. Mama Shanda Rabatakata. We have come to the rivers of living waters. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just go ahead and thank God. Just go ahead and thank God. Just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. And we thank you that you are with us. We pray that make known unto us the mystery of your will. Reveal your plan and your purpose to us. Cause us to locate our purpose and cause us to walk in it to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, please, can you take your seats? Hallelujah. Please, can you turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians. Chapter 3. Well, this afternoon, by the grace of God, we are looking at how to discover your purpose. Now, what I intend to do by the grace of God is to unveil to us, first of all, God's big picture so that we can locate our place in God's big picture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a plan. And it's important for us to discover God's plan. Because if we are not able to discover God's plan, we'll not be able to walk with God as we ought to. Can I have an amen? Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 3. All right, so can we go? It says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Please underline the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. 7, Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now 9, this is where I'm majoring on. He says that, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, the word of God is showing us that before God created us, and before God created the universe, and before God created everything, he had an intention. Hallelujah. Now, this intention, Paul is making us see that this intention was hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, from Ephesians 3:5 that we realized, we saw that though great men had come in the Old Testament like Abraham and Joseph and men like Enoch who even walked with God, Bible is saying all of these guys, they didn't know God's ultimate intention. It was hid in God by Jesus Christ. And Bible is saying that Paul is showing us that God has privileged him by grace to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Hallelujah. Paul says that that's the commission God gave him. That's the commission God gave him to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, if we are not able to see God's big picture, our dreams may be very small. If we are not able to see God's big picture, we'll just do some things and be satisfied. But God's big picture actually exists and we must discover it. Tell your neighbor we must discover it. Tell your neighbor we must discover it. I want us to spend some few minutes to look at God's big picture first. Then we'll see where you lie in God's big picture. Then it will be easier to locate what God wants to. Can I calm down? I feel very far from... And we are also saying amen. You are not helping me. So I want to feel free and preach. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, so when you read through the Bible, it is sometimes difficult to understand what is going on till you've seen the end of God's big picture. So the final book in the Bible, which is the book of Revelation, we see that at the end of all things, God has achieved a purpose. Now, what is this purpose? You see, in Ephesians, you know, Genesis, the book of Psalm, some places in Deuteronomy reveal to us creation. But Paul is saying that God revealed to him his mind before creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, can I have an amen? Yeah. Beloved, I want you to pay attention because at the end of this dispensation, those who understood God's vision to fulfill it, they will be God's profitable servants. Because you see, your profit to God is not in what you are doing, but it's according to what he has given you to do. But then he has a big picture that I want us all to see by the grace of God that we can carry on. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, one of the places in Ephesians chapter 1, the verse number 9, Paul says that God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which God purposed in himself. Paul is saying that before God created all of us, and before God created anything, God had a meeting with himself. And God had a plan, and this plan is according to his good pleasure. Meaning that this is the only thing that will make God happy. So we can be doing many things, but this is what's according to God's good pleasure. Now, let's fast forward. In Revelation chapter 19, actually Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where eternity actually begins, we see that God has achieved something called the New Jerusalem. Somebody say the New Jerusalem. You see, when we became born again, we were given a very good foundation about heaven. We have to go to heaven. Of course, if you don't go to heaven, where else do you want to go? But God's plans go beyond heaven. That's what I'm trying to show you. Now, God, at the end of everything, has achieved something known as the New Jerusalem. Now, the New Jerusalem is not heaven, because even heaven, the Bible tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, and John said he stood by an angel. to ask the angel that, what is the Lamb's wife? And he said he saw Holy Jerusalem proceeding out of God. So what is on God's heart is that God is preparing the church to ultimately be the wife of the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ. You see, the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before they created, they saw an end vision. And everything they had mapped out is to achieve that end vision. Don't let your mind go far. If we want to organize a party, the party will not just come. We have to set up a committee. Those who will cook, those who will organize, those who will do this, so that at the end of the day, the party will be a reality. In the same way, God purposed one day that one day the Father is going to have children who are after the order of his firstborn son, Jesus Christ. The Son, that is Jesus Christ, is going to have his wife, that is the completed church, the New Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit is also going to have an eternal temple built of living stones, which is us. Hallelujah. So because of this intention, God decided to map out a plan. Somebody say God's plan. Now, when you read the Bible, you find the word dispensation. Dispensation, is that not so? Dispensation. And dispensation looks like a very big word, but it is not at all. Tell your neighbor, it's not a big word. Dispensation simply means how God deals with man at a particular time. How God deals with man at a particular time. So, for example, a common dispensation we know was the dispensation of the law. That was before where we are now, the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church. But before the dispensation of the law, there were other dispensations that existed. For example, Abraham was not under the law. Abraham existed before the law came. Hallelujah. Now, in the same way, God's plans and purposes also don't end at the dispensation of the church. Beyond the church, there's also another dispensation to come, which according to Revelation 20 is a 1,000-year reign with Christ, known as the millennium dispensation or the kingdom age. Now, what God does is that he uses every dispensation to prepare men for the next dispensation. So what was happening under the dispensation of the law was that the law was just preparing us for grace. So when God brought the law, man saw how helpless and how weak he was without the law, so that he can fall on Christ, who is grace, to be saved. But in the same way, God is also using this church dispensation to prepare men for that kingdom dispensation. That's how come each dispensation is a preparation for the next. When Jesus came, Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom. The kingdom. And you could see that Jesus was, when he talks about the parables of the future kingdom, he distinguishes every time two kinds of people. So he talks about profitable servant and unprofitable servant. He talks about wise virgins and foolish virgins. So in the church, we are now in the church. All of us, we are born again. Thank God we are in the church. But God is looking for some people in the church who are his profitable servants, who are his overcomers to reign with Christ in the next dispensation. So what is the church? What is the church? We know that all of us who have believed in Jesus Christ, we are the church. Is that not so? I'm not hearing you. Are you hungry or you are tired? They've eaten. Okay, if I see that you are not saying amen, I'll come and give the mic to you so that you can also preach. Hallelujah. Please, are you following me? Now, the church is many things. The church is the people who are giving their lives to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is many wonderful things. But one description the Bible gives about the church, which I want us to see today, is the body of Christ. Somebody say the body of Christ. Somebody say the body of Christ. Now, when the Bible describes the church as the body of Christ, it's not a figure of speech. Tell your neighbor, it's not a figure of speech. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, that God has made Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things in all things. The Bible is telling us that God has made Christ to be the head over the church, which is his body. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, 11, the Bible says, for by one spirit, all of us have been baptized into one body and to make to drink of one spirit. Make sure nobody around you sleeps. Tell your neighbor, make sure no one sleeps. Hallelujah. Because by the time I'm finishing what I'm doing, you see that If you sleep, you are doing all of us a disfavor, because we need you and you need us together. Hallelujah. Bible is saying that for by one spirit, describing our born again experience, all of us have been baptized into one body and made to drink of one spirit. What the Bible is actually saying is that we know that Jesus Christ is God and he became a man, so he took on humanity to die for us. Then he resurrected with his glorified human body and he went into heaven. But Bible is saying that Jesus Christ has another body, which is a mystical one, which is his church, which is you and I. And until you see yourself as the body of Christ, you can't actually fulfill God's purpose. Because God's purpose is revolving around the body of Christ. Oh, I thought I would get an amen. Yes. Oh, Dr. Yao, you're welcome. You're welcome. I think you can sit here, right? Yes, I came with him. Yes. All right. Now, please, are you following me? Now, look at me. Can you see me carefully? Now, you see, this is my head. Is that not so? And this is my body. Now, in case I want to walk here, you realize that I decided in my head. Is that not so? But what is happening? I have to carry it out through the body. Is that not so? Now, in the same way, Bible is saying that Jesus Christ is the head and all of us are the body. Meaning that as the church, we exist to fulfill the desires of the head, which is Christ. Meaning that the things that the head wants to do, he wants to carry it out through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are very important to him. We didn't say it. The Bible says we are the fullness of him that fills all things in all things. The things he wants to do it through us. Ephesians 5:30 says we are members of his flesh and of his bones. Please, are you getting me? Please, are you getting me? So Christ is the head and all of us are the body. Now, as you look at your human body, you realize that every member of the body is important. Every part is functioning something. Okay, you don't want to mind me, so let's go to Ephesians 4. Let's read 11 to 16. Would they project it? So we'll all read together so that you can participate. I think some people want to sleep, so. But my dear, we need to see God. Let me tell you something. Like we already saw, this is what's on God's heart, oh. There are many things that are happening in the world today, which is good, which we are celebrating, which we are clapping for. But if we love God, we will discover what is in his heart, and we'll do it for him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. So if you really want to discover God's purpose, you must discover his eternal purpose before you can see your purpose in his purpose. Like we read in Ephesians 3, Paul said, it was because of wherefore I am made a minister. It's because of this purpose. That's why Paul said he was made a minister. In the same way, all of us, it's because of this eternal purpose. That's why we were made ministers. So Ephesians 4, let's read. We'll even read from verse 1 to 16. I think I have time, so we'll read. Okay, so please, let's read. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love. Please, let's continue. It is one body and one spirit. Please continue. We are reading to 16. the trickery of men. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in 16. Amen. So right now you are awake, so we can continue. All right, so just like I was telling you, beloved, watch this. Bible is saying, we read there's one body. Now, everything God is doing on earth today, he's using the church. The salvation of the sinner, everything that he's doing, that's why he has given his authority to us for us to exercise. So we are saying that as you are seated here, don't just see yourself as, oh, you are on your own. You are not on your own. God has made you part of the body of Christ. And he's saying that unto every one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Meaning that as you are seated here, you are very important because God has met out grace to all of us in order for us to function our role well as the body of Christ. Then he went on to say that that's why the Bible said that when Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gift to men. Then 11 says he has given some to be what? Apostles. Some to be what? Some to be what? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what reason? Bible says to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Meaning that the work of a ministry is not for the apostle. The work of a ministry is not for the prophet. The work of a ministry is not for the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But God has given them special graces. So whenever we come to church, whenever we listen to them, they are equipping us so that where God has called you to function, you will function. So you can't say that as for you, you are not called into ministry. As for you, your ministry is going to work and bringing your money to the church. But the pastors also give offering on Sunday. So giving offering is not your ministry. But there's a special ministry for all of us, which is comprised of where we are as members of the body of Christ. Beloved, the Bible says God has given every one of us grace. Meaning that what God has called you to do, the grace is automatically there. If I want to pick this thing with my leg, I can't, because that's not the grace for the leg. That's not the grace for the leg. But the grace for the hand, I can easily pick it. You see, when you understand this one, it will eliminate envy and jealousy and division in the church. Because God, in his own wisdom, has decided to give every one of us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, many are simply suffering because they are trying to do the work of the leg when they are the hand. But Bible says that God has given us this fivefold gift. First of all, to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What is God saying? Every church, you see, God doesn't deal with denominations. God is looking at the whole body. Therefore, this is God's intent. If one church has the truth and another church doesn't have the truth, God is not excited. Do you remember Paul was mature. But when he's writing to, in regards to others, he said, when we were children, because you see, we are one body. Your defeat is all of us our defeat. Your victory is all of us our victory. Until you get this picture, you will not see how important you are to the plan and the purpose of God. You see, you will not see how important you are to the plan and the purpose of God. You think, oh, as for others, they are special. But beloved, you are also special. You are also very special in the plan and the purpose of God. And all of us may not stand behind this pulpit to preach. Because some people, that is their grace there. But you too, you have a special grace to function somewhere. Hallelujah. You see, Bible says he has given us the fivefold to equip all of us for the work of the ministry. You see, so when you come to church on Sunday, your pastor is ministering to you. So that when you go to Echo Bank, since there's no pastor there, you can be the pastor there. Because you are being equipped from the pulpit to reach people there. But you see, we have just left a few people to do the work of the ministry. And all of us are just waiting. We are just waiting to come to church on another Sunday just to hear a message you will not do anything about. But if you understand how that God is looking to you and how that there's a special plan and a purpose for your life, you wake up and begin to fulfill your assignment. You begin to fulfill your assignment. There is a special plan for you. Hallelujah. There's a special plan for you in all of God's plan. There's a special plan for you. Can you imagine that little slave girl? You see, she was a slave. She had been captured in battle. But she was strategically located in Naaman's house to tell Naaman about Elisha. As little as her role was, she led someone to greatness. In the same way, all of us, God has scheduled something for us. And God has located us in various places in the world. If you read Acts 17, Bible says God has determined the bounds of our habitation. God is the one who chose that they should give birth to you in Ghana. God is the one who chose that you should come to that family. Because God knew that that is the only place you will find God. In the same way, if God is the one that determined the bounds of our habitation, it means that God is going to hold us accountable for the work undone in that location, because that is where he has positioned us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And beloved, you have to discover your assignment. You have to discover. Let me show you something. Death is not proof that you have fulfilled your assignment. You know, sometimes when someone dies at the funeral, we try to sympathize and empathize with the family. So we tell the person that the person's assignment is finished. No, death is not proof that you finished your assignment. Paul was not yet dead, but he said, I've run the race, I've finished my course. But he was alive. Jesus said, Father, the work you gave me to do, I finished, but he was alive. So if somebody dies, it doesn't mean that he has fulfilled his assignment. It doesn't mean that. For example, let me show you something. You know, Elijah was that powerful as a prophet. But even Elijah didn't finish his assignment. In 1 Kings 19, when Elijah was running away from God, God gave him three commissions: to anoint Hazael, king of Syria, to anoint Jehu, and to anoint Elisha and Jehu. And God said, the one who escapes the sword of Hazael will not escape the sword of Elisha. The one who escapes the sword of Elisha will not escape the sword of Jehu. But we know the man of God didn't do that. But chariot of fire still came for him. Beloved, we are time bound to fulfill our assignment. There is time. There is time for you to fulfill. You don't have forever to fulfill your assignment. Because if all that Elijah did, he didn't fulfill his assignment, then you have to wake up. Then you have to wake up. Because let me show you something. The Bible says that let us walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Why is the Bible saying that? You see, the Bible says, let us walk circumspectly. Circumspectly comes from two words, circumference and spectacle. You know, circumference means all around, and spectacle means to see. So Bible is saying that, you see, the wise man is the one who doesn't just look at one thing, but looks all around. You see, the wise man is the one who doesn't just look to this world, but he looks beyond this world to another world. And it says, redeeming the time. What does redemption mean? Redemption means to buy back by paying a price. It means the Bible already agrees that you have lost time. Bible knows you have made wrong investments of your time to fulfill your purpose. So Bible is now calling on you to redeem that time. You see, you cannot travel back to go and rectify things you should have done. But Bible is saying that how well you work today and how you go about your things today will be the redemption of the lost time. And I believe that this afternoon, God wants to wake people up to see his plan and his purpose. Because like I said, at the end of the dispensation, God is going to distinguish those who saw his purpose to fulfill and those who are just there. Beloved, you see, you can't live your life how you like. Because first of all, you didn't create yourself. Are you getting me? Secondly, Bible is also saying that you were predestinated. That's another big word. But it simply means to be given a destination before you came. God gave you a destination before you came. Hallelujah. God, are you listening to me? God did what? God gave you a destination before you came. And what God is expecting is that when your time, you see, somebody say your time. That's why Mordecai told Esther that, who knows that you were born for a time such as this. Meaning that in God's time, we all have our time. So God is waiting that at the end of your time, he'll be waiting for you at your destination that he gave you. We're predestinated. So you see, you cannot choose what you want to do for God. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing that we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, not the race we have chosen. Beloved, every one of us, there is a race God has set for you, and you must discover it. And strangely, we try to encourage ourselves by saying life is not a race. But according to the Bible, life is a race. Just that we are not in competition. We are not running the same race. But it's telling you, the Bible is saying that he wants you to work quickly. Because the one who is coming for us, he said, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. So your approach to your assignment must be that of speed. Colossians 4:17, Paul said, and say unto Archippus that he should take heed to fulfill the ministry which he has received of the Lord. You see, Paul is saying that they should tell a certain man called Archippus that he should take heed, meaning that if you don't take heed, you cannot fulfill the calling God has given you. Beloved, life is just a dressing room for eternity. You see, life is not a place for jokes. So, as we are here, we are determining how we will be in the age to come. You see, how we are going about our things will be our placement in the next age to come. So everybody must take your assignment seriously. So someone say, oh, if this thing is so important, why doesn't God just show everybody his assignment? Everything about God is free. But everybody must show God that you value it before God shows it to you. Everything about God is free. But the things of God are not cheap, but they are free. So everybody's active involvement must be in it. That's what come in Matthew 25, verse 14 downwards. The parable of the profitable servants. He gave them according to their several ability. He didn't tell them what to do. He took his journey to the far country. He didn't tell them. He just gave it to them and he left. But you see, the master was expecting them to know. He was expecting them to know. He was expecting them to know what to do. In the same way, Bible said, you see, that parable was also talking about the kingdom. Bible says that a certain man called his own servant, and then he gave them talents according to their several abilities. And he took his journey into a far country. And you agree with me that heaven is a far place. And he said he gave gifts to men. So it means that all of you, you were wired with your assignment. God saw what you can do. When God was creating you, he saw that, in my eternal purpose, this is what you can do. And he has put it inside you like that. And God is expecting you to bring out what he has put in you, to cultivate, for it to bear fruit. And how good and how faithful you are with the assignment he has put in you will determine what you will be in the next age. Because you see, in the kingdom age, everything we are doing in the church age, we are going to do the higher version in the kingdom age. So even if you have a global ministry, Bible calls it few things. Bible says you have been faithful over these few things, be made rule over much. We are stewards of God's work. And Bible says it is required that a steward be faithful. So you see, with such a task, with such an enormous task, we wouldn't have time for jokes. Time no day. Hallelujah. Time no day. Beloved, so how can you run a race you don't know about? So the first thing to do in fulfilling your assignment is to discover that assignment. And that's what we want to look at. Because everybody's assignment is not the same. God said in Exodus 3 that I have heard the cry of my people Moses and I'm sending you to deliver them. You see, Paul said, wherefore I am made a minister. It simply means that every one of our assignments is just to solve problems in God's economy. They didn't get it. I said they didn't get it. Meaning that you are a reason for which a problem is still existing. You see, very often we are calling on God to come and do several things. But God knows his body is here. The head knows his body is here. And the head is just looking for members in the body who are just yielded in order to get things done. And beloved, I pray that today you discover your assignment. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Take heed, lest any man take your crown. You see, our assignment is tied to our crowns. And Jesus said, take heed, lest any man take your crown. You see, Revelation 3, 10 and 11. He said, take heed, lest any man take your crown. Meaning, this is what it simply means. Jesus is saying that our crowns are linked to our assignments. Please, are you following me? Now, if you refuse to fulfill your assignment, God must still get his work done. So God will still have to look for somebody to do the work. And the person gets his crown in addition to your crown. You see, many people are losing their crowns. They don't know. You see, this is the assignment. Bible says that good and faithful servant. Many people, what God has called them to do, they are not faithful in it. God has called them to be a teacher. They are teaching. They say, no. In the teaching ministry, people don't sow a lot of seeds. No, I'm a prophet. Now, you have chosen your own course. And the strange thing is that God can use you for the sake of his people, but you lose your reward. Listen, that is how come you can't use results to determine you are in God's will for your life. Because Moses still disobeyed God, but the water still came out from the rock for the sake of God's people. You see, there are many who are doing what they like. You see, in Matthew 7, when Jesus said, some will say, I cast out devils in your name. I did it in your name. Now, the word, I don't know you. Check it. Those of you who have Greek concordances and my sword. It means I didn't permit you. I didn't permit you. It means you didn't do it in my will. You didn't do it in, I didn't permit you. So you must discover where you are. Are you doing it because that's what you feel you should do? Or is it according to God's eternal purpose? Because some of the things we don't know is that, because God has met out grace, when you step out of your boundary, you cause problems for other people. You cause problems for other people. And the only problems you have in the body of Christ today is that many are called, but some have called themselves. You see, some have called themselves to the assignments they want, and they are the reason for which many are missing. But you see, when you locate your place, you'll be able to touch the right people to do the right things. Let me give you an example. In John 4, all Jesus needed to do was to touch the woman at the well. And that woman at the well brought all the men in the city to Jesus, the right location. One woman, that was the kind of potential in her. The madman of Gadara, all Jesus needed to do was to cast that demon out, and that man went and preached in 10 cities, Decapolis. In the same way, there is a woman at the well that is waiting for you. There is a madman at Gadara that is waiting for you on the other side of the river. But you have also chosen to do what you like. But I pray that men will be intoxicated with God's will once again. That men will begin to see that life is not about here, but life is just a preparation for where we ought to go. And beloved, you have to seek the will of God. No one can do it for you. You see, the will of God is so precious and so sacred that you must discover it. No wonder in Matthew 25, the wise virgins told the foolish ones that go to them that sell and buy. Go to them that sell and buy. You must buy into God's plan and purpose for your life for yourself. You must buy into God's plan and purpose for yourself. I don't mean to load you so much, but for example, in the distinguishing in Revelation 14, okay, for example, let me just say something for us to get to the picture of what I'm talking about. In Revelation 14, we see three distinguishes of people there. People the Bible calls God's first fruit. People God calls his harvest. And people God calls the winepress of the field. You know, very often when people read Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, they confuse the two because all of them, they see 144,000 there. But the 144,000 in Revelation 7 was talking about Jews. An angel was coming to smite the earth and the sea. And they said he shouldn't till he has marked 12,000 from every tribe. But remember that the book of Revelation was written in symbols. Revelation 1:1, he said, which he signified to his servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you don't want to pay attention, so. But I'm trying to show you something. The people fulfill God's will for their life. They are the people God calls his first fruit. They are his first and his best. And I want to show you some of the principles in order for us to enter into that realm. Because all of us look at the body of Christ today and we see the body of Christ must grow. Is that not so? So people must grow. Oh, have you taken a 16 from there? I want us to see something. Bible says, if every joint is supplied, that is when the rest of the body of Christ can work well. Now, for example, what I'm doing right now, for example, I'm doing the work of a joint. I'm supplying you something so that you can be effective in your field. In the same way, God is expecting that every one of us will also grow up in him so that we can be joined, so that the more we supply, the more the rest of the body of Christ can function in their place rightly. This is not an issue of age. This is not an issue of gender. This is an issue of God's purpose. And I'm telling you, that's how come in this end time, you know God is in a hurry to finish his work. That's how come now, God will pick a man, and his whole grace is the man, and you can't tell whether the man is a teacher, whether the man is an evangelist, but because others are refusing to do what God wants them to do. So God must load a man with several things in order to get his work done. Hallelujah. And you see, a lot of people who are sinners today, who haven't accepted Christ, for all you know, they are the only ones we are waiting for to fulfill the assignment. Yes. Because you see, the crusade Billy Graham gave his life to Christ. He was the only one that came forward. But one man has been able to bring several people into the kingdom, just like the woman of the well and the madman of Gadara, I told you. Beloved, in the purposes of God, I am coming to your specific purpose soon. But in the specifics, in the purposes of God, I beg your pardon, there is a general purpose for the whole body. That is what I'm revealing before we come to the specific purpose. Because many people have ignored the general purpose in Christ, and they are seeking their specific purpose, and you will never find it. Because God has ordained that it is through the general purpose that you enter your specific purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The way I'm not responding, I can't, you see, I tell people in church, no, wait, I want to say something, let me tell you two things. You see, when somebody is tired in church, I don't suspect the person. Maybe a person was tired, so he's sleeping. But if you are awake and you are not responding, no stressing. As your neighbor said, no stressing. Beloved, there are general purposes in God. And you must find yourself in the general purposes. Because you see, before God brings you into your specific purpose, God will always have to take you through a route so that when you enter your specific purpose, you can be stable and work effectively. Look at Paul. God called Paul to be an apostle. But Paul didn't start as an apostle. You see, Paul was a normal believer. He became a disciple. Then before Acts 13, Bible says there were certain prophets and teachers gathered at Antioch. And the Holy Ghost spake, and he said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work. That's when Paul entered his apostolic ministry. So, you see, Paul will write some of his letters and say, Paul, called to be an apostle. Paul, called to be an apostle. Before 2 Corinthians, Paul will say, Paul, an apostle. In the same way, you must see. For example, if I come and tell you, I say, look, God has called you to be a prophetess. It doesn't mean that day you have become a prophetess. You have to locate the route through which you go through service, through mentorship, through your faithfulness. Then now, when you enter into the full bloom of your ministry, your character has been developed so that you can be a stable man to fulfill God's ministry well. So, I've said many things. So, I want to zoom quickly into how to discover your specific purpose. Are you there? The first thing to do if you want to discover God's purpose is not to chase the purpose, but to chase God. Many people are asking God, God, what do you want me to do for you? God, what do you want me to do for you? But you see, we are not God's tools. We are God's family. Relationship matters to God before work. You see, many people think they are God's tools. Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, use me. But you see, Jesus, Bible says he called the disciples to be with him first before he will send them out to preach. God is interested in relationship first. That is why those who go after relationship, they discover their assignment and purpose easily than those who are asking God. Because you see, you don't even need to ask God to show you your purpose. Because God could use a donkey who was not born again. God could use even unbelievers for his purposes. So the main thing is to chase God's heart. Sorry. Hallelujah. The main thing is to chase God's heart. Today in the church, you see, there are many people who don't love God, but they claim they love the work of God. And you see, you can love the work of God and not love God. Because it could just be youthful exuberance or the excitement of your youthful days. One day Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. And Bible says, as Martha was cooking, remember, Martha was working for the Lord, though. She was not cooking for herself. But Bible says, Mary sat at his feet to hear his word. And in the process of time, Martha got frustrated. He said, Master, would you allow my sister to come and help me? Then Jesus said, Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. Do you know why? Because you see, if you have not sat at the master's feet, how do you know the menu he wants for that day that you have entered the kitchen to go and cook for him? Hallelujah, sorry. How do you know what the master wants? So the first key, if you want to discover God's plan for your life, is to discover God's heart, that what he wants is relationship. Because you see, the workers will not work for God like the lovers will do. Because Jesus showed us that the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, 1 to 4, they had works, they had labors, but Jesus was interested in their first love. And you see, very often we preach first love as initial love. But you see, the word he used for first love is the same word for best love. First in terms of priority. So Jesus has many people in the world today who are more interested in evangelism than him. Who are more interested in praying than him. But it's all about him. So when you discover him and you enter into fellowship with the Lord, the more you spend time with the Lord will begin to work on you, work on your heart, work on your person, because God is looking for a quality sacrifice. God is looking for people who work after a certain order. After a certain order. After a certain order. After a certain order. You know, God is sovereign. So why didn't God anoint Elijah and anoint Elisha at the same time? But allowed Elisha to come and follow Elijah so that in that time, the man's character can be shaped. Because you see, who you are is more important than what you do for God. Who you are is more important than what you do for God. It's just like, do you think if a prostitute brings God tight in church, God will be happy? No. Who you are is more important than what you do for God. It's as simple as that. But the more you spend time with God, God begins to work on you, because God's ultimate intention is to make you like Jesus Christ, not to put you in ministry. Jesus is your first calling. God's ultimate intention is for us to be like Jesus. So God is not just looking for prophets. God is looking for prophets who are like him, apostles who are like him, evangelists who are like him, pastors who are like him, teachers who are like him, elders who are like him, deacons who are like him. And the foundation for them being like him is by being with him. The more we are with him, that is the first key to discover. The first key. Those who chase him find the assignment. Hallelujah. 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 There's a plan for your life, and it's hidden in intimacy. Because you see, God's plan for your life, like we saw, is hidden in the eternal purpose. And these are the secrets of God. Bible says it was hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Bible says the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him. The Hebrew says the friendship of the Lord is with them that fear him. Meaning that how to get the secrets of the Lord is by being a friend of God. Look at Peter. Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, yes. Feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Look at what Jesus was doing to Peter. Jesus was saying that the qualification for the ministry is not the ministry, but love for him. Love for him. If you love me, feed my sheep. Not if you love the flock, go and feed them. And all of us, as we love the Lord and as we seek the Lord and as we go after the Lord now begins to say, feed my sheep. Do this, do that. Because you have come to the place where God can use you. Where God can use you. Where God can use you. The second thing in knowing your assignment is to seek it. Is to seek the assignment. Let me show you why a lot of you, when you pray for God's will, you never discover God's will. Because I told you, everything about God is free. But you have to show God that, God, I'm interested. I'm interested. Because if God talking to you is not a big deal. God talks to even sinners. When Adam and Eve fell, God came to talk to them. Hallelujah. You see, that's how come if you are living your life in sin, and we are prophesying to you, don't think that, it means that God is okay with your situation. He talks to even sinners. Hallelujah. But this is the next key to seek the assignment. Why don't people never find the assignment? Bible says one day, Rebecca was pregnant. And she had a struggle within her womb. So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said, there are two nations in your womb. And the older shall serve the younger. You see, the woman had this struggle within herself. But she didn't assume. She went to inquire of the Lord. Your inquiry of the Lord shows your respect for the Lord. Your inquiry of the Lord means that you are telling God that, God, you know my plan and purpose, and I don't know it, so I'm coming to know it. And God revealed the destiny of Jacob and Esau even before they came. God showed what was happening to her and the end means. Why don't people never discover? Because Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently. Many are seeking God, but they are seeking him casually. Many are seeking their assignments casually. But when you come to the place where you are desperate, in the morning you are asking God. In the evening you are asking God. In the afternoon, as you keep asking, sometimes it's not like God is delaying. But you see, as you keep asking, you'll be building your yieldedness. You'll be building your capacity to obey God. You'll be building yourself to obey Him. So by the time that preparation meets that manifestation, there'll be an explosion. By the time God speaks, the man is ready. By the time the man hears from God, he's yielded to do what God wants him to do. Look at how Paul described himself. What we read in Ephesians 3:1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. In Ephesians 4:1, he said, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk. Beloved, there are realms in our walk with God. There are realms. But people don't know. You see, people are just satisfied with, I have authority, I'm exercising. But that's not the highest realm. The highest realm in God is when you are a servant. No, I understand you are born again. I know you are a son. Don't come and say that, this guy doesn't know that we are in the New Testament. But you don't know better than Paul. Paul graduated to a point where he said he was a prisoner. Beloved, when you come to a place where you are yielded to the Lord, Bible says in the day of his power, his people will be willing. You see, the Bible, a version says that his people will be free will offerings. God is looking for people who believe him. People who trust him like Abraham, who left not knowing where they were going. But at the end of Abraham's life, he was blessed in all things. In the same way, that's how you must be. You must come to the place where you are seeking the will. And in seeking the will, it's not about asking, but it's to prove to God that, God, I believe that your plan for me is the best, and wherever you are leading me, I will go. The moment you come to that place, God can entrust you with his will, because many destinies are connected to his will. It's a special thing. It's an eternal purpose, so he doesn't just scatter it abroad. So you see, a man who is living in sin and asking God's will, he will not know. A man who is not interested in fulfilling God's will, but he just wants to hear whether is to confirm what he wants to be, he can never know God's will. But a man who comes and he's a slave of the Lord, he says, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. Like Abraham, when God called him to go to a land that he will receive for an inheritance, he left not knowing where he was going. When men come to that place, look at us today. The way we suspect God, if God is calling you, a lot of Christians, they don't want God to call them to some special assignment. But beloved, that is your eternal relevance. That is why you came. So you will seek the will and you will never find it. But there will be some. God makes them pass through some things even in life for their assignment. They come through several things where they come to a place, Lord, I will obey. Then suddenly God shows them the assignment. Look at Paul. God blinded Paul. So Paul, if you are blinded, you can't do anything on the road to Damascus. Then that day, Saul said, Lord, meaning I recognize your lordship. It's not about my plan and purpose anymore. What would you have me do for you? Then the Lord revealed this assignment to Paul. Hallelujah. Acts 9. What will you have me do? Paul said, I saw, when he was talking to the kings, Agrippa and Co., he said, I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. And I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. The third way to discover your assignment is by being, I won't say spiritual, by being highly spiritual. That's the third point. By being highly, tell your neighbor, highly spiritual. You see, a lot of us are just saved, sanctified, and satisfied. But there are dimensions in God yet to be touched. Look at John. In Revelation 1:10, John said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice behind him like a trumpet. And being 10, he saw one like unto the Son of Man. I mean, he saw Jesus. And he saw revelations about Jesus in the revelation. After John has seen all these things in Revelation 4:1, John said, and I heard a voice say, come up hither, and I will show you what is to come. You see, the higher you go in the spirit, the further you can see. Many people, where they are standing, it cannot make them see their destiny. Because they read their Bible once a month. They go to church when they like. But the higher you climb in the spirit, the more you can see. Moses was with the children of Israel, and God called him to the mount to show him the pattern. Beloved, if you want to know your assignment in God, you must be on the mountain. You must be on the mountain. You must be where everybody else is not. You see, everyone can be there. Everyone may not be fasting. Everyone may be serving God how they like. But when you separate yourself, Bible says through desire, a man having separated himself, it's a separation. It's a separation for a high call in God. That I live for him. I am a sacrifice for God. I'm yielded to God. I want to press on in God. The higher you go, the further you see. The further you see. You see, if there's a mountain between you and where you are supposed to go, and you don't climb the mountain, you cannot see beyond the mountain. You see, many people are actually asking God, and you already have eyes to see, but there are mountains before you. But I charge you this afternoon that may you climb the mountain. To stand on the mountain top to see God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Bible says the fourth point is consecration. 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 You see, many people think that consecration is for the fulfillment of the assignment. But you see, consecration is even for the discovery of the assignment before the fulfillment. Please, did I lose you? All right, so Bible says in a great house, there are many vessels. So the kind of vessel doesn't matter. But Bible says, if a man shall purge himself, Bible didn't say if a man will purge himself, he's a vessel. He will be a vessel. It is your separation that separates you into your call. Are they here? Are they here? Listen, beloved, it's so sad. Tell your neighbor, it's so sad. I don't know who is causing today's believer to believe. That believe and live how you like. I think our team is the Holy Spirit. If God likes everything, what grieves the spirit in? Because that's a popular conception a lot of people have. That once you have believed, it means you're good and you're bad. God likes all together. Hey. I think the problem of today's preachers is that not everybody, with apology to those who are doing the right thing, they want to be deeper than those who wrote the Bible. Yes. Jesus in the book of Revelation will tell 5 churches out of 7, repent, repent, repent. Today somebody is preaching, so we don't need repentance. Once you are born again, you have already repented. You let me not go there. Hallelujah. But beloved, a separation for your call. A separation. A separation. A separation. A separation. You must be separated. You see, God has separated you first of all, but you must also walk in that separation. You know the anointing is for service, is that not it? The Bible says, let your garments always be white and let not your head lack oil. It means the Bible is saying that there's a consecration. Oh, didn't you hear Jesus say in the prayer that because of the assignment you have given me, for this purpose I sanctify myself? One tear, I don't know what to say again. Beloved, you must be separated. Hey, you can't be watching TV 6 hours with everybody and you know your assignment. You can't be walking everywhere and you know your assignment. But you must look for it. You must seek it through intense spirituality. Because remember, we are God's family and not his tools. Another thing to discover your assignment is the word. Tell your neighbor the word. Tell your neighbor the word. You see, many people have closed the Bible and they are looking for the voice of God from somewhere again. I know you didn't like it, but it's your own concern. Do you know in 2 Peter, Bible says we are with him on the Holy Mount. When there came an excellent voice from the excellent glory, Peter was at the transfiguration, Matthew 17, with James and John. So Peter said we were with him on the Holy Mount. When there came an excellent voice from the excellent glory, they saw the cloud, they heard the voice of God. But Peter looked to the Bible and said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. You didn't understand. Peter was there, he saw the glory, he saw Elijah, he saw Moses. Heard the excellent voice from the excellent glory. But Peter said that we have a more sure word of prophecy. He called, what does he say? Peter said that the word of God he is presenting to us is more sure than what he was experiencing. Hey, but are they here? Am I? Bible says, which? As a light in a dark place we keep. Hey. It says, until the day dawns and the day star arises in our heart. Many people don't know that one of the ways to discover, the easiest way to discover the will of God is in the word. As you spend time in the word, as like a light shining in the dark place. You see, you don't know God's will for your life. God's will for your life, because you don't know it, but you have the word, you are like a light in a dark place. But as you keep holding on to the more sure word of prophecy, the more you spend time with this, Bible says one of these days, the day star will rise in your heart. What am I saying? Bible is saying one of these days, as you are doing your quiet time, your assignment will pop up in your heart. One of these days, in that teaching service that people don't like attending teaching service, it will pop up in your heart. The day star will dawn in your heart. You see, many people say they are looking for the voice of God. And of course, the voice of God is important for your assignment. But Bible says the voice of God is upon the waters, and the water is the word. Without the Logos, you cannot have Rhema. The Rhema is your specific word, but it is in the Logos. But many people have closed the Logos, and they are waiting to hear another voice from somewhere. God will not speak any other language apart from the Bible. Apart from the Bible. So if you are truly determined to discover your assignment and to fulfill it, you must be a friend of the word. The more you spend time with the word, one of these days, the assignment will just pop up. The last but one I'm giving you. The last but one. I don't know whether I should give you that one last or I should. Okay, I'll give you the last one as the last but one. Oh, how many of you love Jesus? The last but one I'm even giving you is actually also the clue to fulfill your assignment if you have discovered it. You know, in Acts, the book of Acts, Agabus had come to prophesy about what will happen to Paul. Hallelujah. Then, people were also worried about Paul. In Acts 20, the people at Ephesus, because Paul was talking to them and he said, I will not see your face anymore. He says, the Holy Ghost witnesses in me that bonds and afflictions await me in every city. Acts 20, 24. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the grace of God. Watch this. We looked at 1 Kings 19 that Elijah didn't finish his assignment. Paul is showing us here that some will also finish their assignment, but not with joy. But Paul says he wants to finish his assignment with joy. And how will he do it? He doesn't count his life dear unto himself. Jesus said, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, one day the Lord told me something. He says, the day you stop living for yourself is the day you start living for God. Many people are living for themselves. And many people are living to fulfill their parents' dream and their goals. And they feel that if they follow God too much, God may not provide for them. And God may not do this and do that. But if a man comes as a prisoner of the Lord like Paul, that none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. Because you see, God's life cannot flow through you if you are not dead to your own life. That's why Bible says, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus in our bodies, so that his life also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Then the last one is, tell your neighbor, hands on the job training. You see, I've spoken about callings and things. I want to talk about how you can discover the giftings in your calling, because you use the gifts to fulfill your call. You see, a lot of people think that if you see somebody who comes here and is ministering powerfully, it means that one day he was lying down and a grace just came upon him, bang, and he started ministering. But it's not like that. You see, if they say someone is sick and you don't go there to be praying for the person, how will you discover that you have the gift of healing? If they say, oh, they are having intercessors meeting and you don't attend, how will you know that you too, God can tell you about what is about to come? But hands on the job training. The assignment they give you in church, as you are doing it faithfully, as you begin to do several things, you begin to see your assignment in that calling. You see, many people are looking for a big stage. But let me show you something. David, before David came to bring Goliath down, he had already killed the lion and the bear. God will always make sure that you've killed the lion and the bear before you meet Goliath. You see, and we have many people today who are running away from various assignments. Because you see, God, why is it that God promotes those who serve? Because the only proof that you are humble is service. That is how come every time. Look at Elijah. They said, oh, so what will we do? They said, go and bring Elijah, the one who used to pour hands on water on the hands of Elijah. Listen, if you don't learn to pour water on the hands of the Elijahs we have, you cannot be an Elisha. One day, Elisha said he wanted a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Now, let me ask you a question. If I have one phone and you say you want two phones, where will I get the other one for you? No, you say, what do you want me to do for you? You say, I want a double portion of your spirit. So what does that mean? What does that mean? They say, oh, Elijah truly received double portions because he did two times a miracle. We don't deny that. But you see, what is the doctrine of the double portion blessing in the Old Testament? If a man has three sons, he divides his property into four so that you give the firstborn two, since he's the leader. Now, there were other sons of the prophets around. Elisha knew what he was asking. Because watch this. Elisha is even showing us what I said. The man had 12 yoke of oxen. When Elijah came, he killed all of them and he did a send-off for himself. When he lost his life, he found his life. When he lost his vision, he found God's vision. Many of you, because you have your own vision, I want to attend Harvard and I want to attend Yale and I want to attend. God's vision for you can even be bigger than that. But you suspect God and you are concerned about what men would think and say about you. But beloved, it's not an issue of what men will say. At the end of the day, it's about heaven's approval. It's about what heaven is saying. God may send you into a village. God may send you where nobody wants to go. But it's about the eternal purpose. It's about seeing what he wants done to do. The man followed Elijah. Now what? Look at what he says. I want a double portion of your spirit. He meant that he wants to take Elijah's place when he's not there, because other sons of the prophets were there. But look at what Elijah told Elisha. If you see me go, you see, I am here now. You want to be here, make sure I enter into the next realm. Many people today cannot serve pastors for them to go to their next realm. That's why we can't occupy their place. Many of us can't serve leaders for them to enter into their next place. That is why we are not receiving the double portion. But may God bring us to the place where we'll be body-minded once again. That's why I began with God's eternal purpose. You must see it as the body. The ear doesn't hear for itself, it hears for the body. The hand doesn't pick up the food for itself, but it's for the whole body. You must understand that your assignment, your calling, your ministry, it's not for yourself, but it's for the whole body. You may be a joint supplying so that the leg can work well. You may be a joint supplying so that the mouth can work well. God is looking for people in these last days where it's not about them. They have seen God's vision. They have seen Christ's vision. They have seen that the eternal purpose has to be fulfilled. And their part in the big picture is so necessary that they must rise up to fulfill that assignment. And I pray that may that be you. I pray that may that be you. Beloved, I pray that may that be you. I pray that that's how your life should be. That you will not have time for the base things of this world. Because you see, because of how God wired you for your assignment, if God's eternal purpose brings him good pleasure, it is only where God has called you to be that you'll be satisfied. Let me tell you, look, you can work many signs and wonders and you still not be fulfilled. You see, it is the unfulfillment in people's lives that has caused them to do the things of the flesh that they have come into limelight by being disgraced. No, they've seen the power, they've seen the anointing, they've seen the glory, but there's still something missing. They have it, but without the fulfillment. But I pray for you today in the name of Jesus, that you will see your place. And in that place, no man may say thank you, but you have heaven's fulfillment. Didn't you hear Jesus say, my food is to do my Father's will and to finish it? They said, has any man brought in food? He said, my food is to the will of the Father. In the same way, since we are also children of God, our food is the Father's will. When you discover your assignment, food brings nourishment. Food brings strength. The reason why today you are strong, tomorrow you are weak in your calling, is that you are not eating the food of God's will. You may be eating the will that man has given you or your own will, but I pray that you begin to eat the will of the Father from today. When you wake up, should I go here or go here? Hey, no. Where is God leading me? Where is God leading me? Look at David. Even in the obvious things, he still inquired of the Lord. A man of war. They captured your family. David never lost the battle. The Bible says David inquired of the Lord. I pray that you enter into divine inquiries. And I'm telling you this one, there is no certitude for your personal. A prophet cannot do it for you. If a prophet tells you that the Lord has called you to be an evangelist, do you know the number? For example, if they tell you that you have been called to be a prophet, there are about 13 or 12 kinds of prophets in the Bible. What is your specific call? Where have you been called to? Beloved, whatever God has called you to do, look at many today. God has called them because they can't mention someone's phone number, so they think they are not prophets. Whatever God has called you to do, be faithful there. He has the marking scheme, not men. He has the marking scheme, not men. You have been looking to men too much. But I pray that you enter into the realm of God's heaven approval. And I believe that this afternoon, God wants some of us to enter into his plan and his purpose for our lives. Beloved, after this camp, don't just go in. Don't just, what did we learn? Oh, we learned about God's purpose. Look, if you don't know God's purpose, it means you are merely existing, you are not living. Look, step into a fast till you find it. Seek it. Learn how to find the voice of God. And sometimes the voice of God will not lead you straight away. Like I said, the lion and the bear before Goliath. Sometimes God will say, join children's ministry. Don't say, upon all the Greek and Hebrew I know. God knows that maybe in 10 years, you are going to pastor a church who will be like that children's ministry. So David was taking care of a sheep so that he could be the shepherd of Israel. Sometimes God leads us into the lonely place. David was to play harp before Saul. He was not just playing the harp. God was showing him how royal things are done. Because one day he was going to enter the palace himself. Many people, you have discarded the playing of the harp for Saul. You have discarded many things and you are praying, oh God, they say I'm a prophet. Lord, give me people. You will pray till Jesus comes. you pray, you fast till you get ulcer and die. But if you step out, you enter into the assignment. I believe today somebody is entering into your assignment for God for your life. I believe somebody is entering God's plan and purpose. You not merely exist. You not merely exist, but you find out from God. Where have I been called to? Because you see, the will of God, it is called a mystery because not everybody knows it. But he has privileged us to know it. Listen, you want to know the will of God? Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. That's what Bible is saying, 1 John 2:20. But do we know all things? Bible says you know all things. 27 says, but the anointing you have received of him abideth in you. For you need not that any man teach you. But as that same anointing has taught you and all things, and is true, and it's not a lie, abide in him. My dear, watch this. Why would the Bible tell us that we don't need teachers? Is it not God himself who was asking us in Hebrews 5:12 that when for the time you ought to have been teachers? Is it not the one who gave us Ephesians 4:11 that he has set teachers? It means this. The Bible is not contradictory. God is not saying you don't need teachers. But you see, just like the way we are teaching you outwardly right now, Bible is also saying that there is an anointing within that is doing an intuition, an inner tuition. What I'm doing is an outward teaching. And it's even by that inner anointing that you get to know whether what I'm saying is right or wrong. The Bible says if you can follow this inward anointing, if you can follow this inward anointing, God is going to lead you step by step into his will. Can you imagine that when he brought them out of Egypt, and we too, we have come out of Egypt because we are born again. But we are not yet in the will of God for our lives. That is our promised land. But in the wilderness was powerful. Manna was falling. Food was coming. In the same way, though we are not in God's specific will, we are seeing some wonders. We are seeing some things. But how did they survive the wilderness they had never been in? By the pillar of cloud, which is the Holy Spirit. And the pillar of fire, which is the same Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led. The Holy Spirit, he was talking through the book of Acts. Acts 13:2, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them. Acts 10:19, Bible says, as Peter yes thought of the vision, the Holy Ghost said, three men are seeking you, go with them, doubting nothing. He was leading them all through. Paul said, and we came to Mysia, and the Holy Ghost prevented us from preaching there. There are places he will allow you to go. There are places he will not allow you. There are ministries he will allow you to join. There are some he will not allow you to go. It is still your training. It is still like in the wilderness that you don't know anything. He will be moving you from Elim. He will move you to one place. He will lead you by the way of the sea till you get to the promised land. Beloved, the heart of God is longing for the fulfillment of his purpose. One day I heard about Catherine Coleman. The Catherine Coleman said that Jesus took somebody from a chair and put her there. You see, the giftings and the call of God are without repentance. But should God wait forever so that people will not fulfill his assignment? God is going to raise people. He says, a quick work will the Lord do. He will cut it short in righteousness. In Joel 2, when he spoke about the end time army, Bible says that each one will walk in his course and none will miss his way. In the book of 2 Peter, he says some people are wandering stars. You see, God calls the stars, to shine in their orbit. Whenever they leave their orbit, they lose their shining. You see, many today is because they are stars. That's why we are seeing them. But they have lost their shining. They have lost their orbit. I pray for you that you stay where God has planted you. See, loamy soil is the best soil. But rice and sugar cane doesn't grow in loamy soil. That is not the place. Beloved, your church, you may not be conducive for you today, but God will say, stay there. God is cultivating something in you. God is building something
building you. God is building you to fulfill his eternal purpose. Bible says, they that are of the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh, but they who are of the spirit, they do mind the things of the spirit. And it says, as many as are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God. I pray for you today that in God's end time army, you will walk in your course. I heard Joel say, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on all my holy mountain. And he said, before that great and terrible day of the Lord, he says, a people great and strong, there has never been the like, even unto many generations. Elijah existed before us. Abraham existed before us. They looked glorious. But God is saying that the end time army, there has never been the like. I see men and women, they are rising up into their assignments. They understand that there is an assignment on them. There is a charge on them. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There is a woe on us. I came to tell us, there is an assignment. That woman at the well is waiting for you. That man of Gadara is waiting for you. You may be that little boy. All you may have is your 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000. I see God raise men and women. They are satisfied only with his assignment. They are concerned only with his assignment. I heard him say, for these are virgins. They have not defiled themselves with women. And they walk whithersoever the Lamb goeth. We are called to follow the Lamb. We are called to follow the Spirit. Look at the world today. The devil is defeating the church. The devil is defeating the world. Many evil things are going out of joint because people have not answered God's will for their lives. But I pray that you will come to the place where you say, the wind blows where it's listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof. The wind is blowing where it likes, but like the locust, you may not be able to fly, but you can jump for the wind to carry you into your destiny. These are destiny moments. He spoke about men of faith in Hebrews 11. Then he said, others refused to be delivered, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And Bible says, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Is that wherefore seeing that we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, is that let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. We must run the race. Paul said, in the race all run, but not all obtain the prize. He says, run to obtain. He said, he that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. He said, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we are incorruptible. I pray that men and women who understand that this life is only a dressing room for eternity, we are preparing for what is to come. We want to be profitable servants. We want to be wise virgins. We want to be overcomers. We want to hear the Lord's approval, that to him that overcometh, I shall grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That to him that overcometh, he shall not be hurt of a second death. To him that overcometh, I shall make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and I shall write the name of my Father on him, and he shall come no more out. He said, to him that overcometh, I will give power over the nations. That is the kingdom. I pray that your election in the kingdom will be sure through your faithfulness. Through your faithfulness, there is a kingdom to come. There is a place to come. I remember he said, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Beloved, the church must be built. The church must be built. Today we are the church, but we must become the living church. We must become the glorious church. I see a day coming where each joint is in its place. Each part is in its place. Men and women, they say, we are living for the greater goal. Paul said, not that I have obtained, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press towards the mark of the high calling. I came to tell someone this afternoon, you have been too slow about your calling. You have been too slow. You have been too slow. You need to run. You need to press towards the marker of the high calling. Because one of these days, in the twinkling of an eye, with the shout of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up to meet with him, and we shall be together. Beloved, he says, knowing the time, that it is high time we awake out of sleep, for the time of our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Beloved, he's coming soon. He said, behold, I come quickly. Take heed that no man take your crown, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive in the flesh what we have done. Bible says, other foundation can no man lay except that which is already laid, which is Christ. Therefore, let every man take heed how he build, for all our works will be tested by fire. Beloved, I pray that when you appear before the Lord, you will not be like that one talented servant who said, as for me, I was afraid of my master. I know that he is a hard man, and he reaps where he has not sown. But I came to tell you, God is not a hard man. He has sown the Holy Ghost in you. He has sown your assignment to you. He has given you the divine life so that his plan and his purpose can be fulfilled. Where are the people? Where the food? Their food is to do the Father's will. They have lived for the flesh, and they have lived for the world. But they say, Lord, consecrate me this afternoon. I understand that the destiny of many is connected to me. I understand that many will enter the kingdom because of me. I understand that by my gift, by my calling, I can't sit on my gift. I can't sit on my gift. I may have one talent, but that one talent is enough. He has given me according to his several ability. According to his several ability, I heard Peter say, brethren, I heard Hebrews say, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. The call on your life is not an ordinary calling. It's a holy calling. It's a high calling. There is a high calling upon your life to fulfill God's plan for your life. You are here on an assignment. You are here to fulfill God's goal. My sister, all you may do is to sing, but your singing can lead many to Christ. My brother, all you can do is to usher, but you can usher men into their destiny. My dear, all you can do is to teach a little class, but I tell you, in that little class, you may raise many for the Lord, just like the backslidden. Eli could raise Samuel, whose words never fell to the ground. I came to talk to somebody this afternoon. Men may have given up on you. Your sins may be well before your eyes. You may be thinking about your falling, and how you've fallen, and how nothing good can come out from you. But his grace is made perfect in weakness. I pray that we will not only come to church and hear good messages and rejoice, but we will live for his coming. We will live for his coming. We will live for his coming. He's coming soon. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to the work he has done. How are you building? My dear, we are too slow. There is a need for speed. There is a need for speed. There is a need for speed. We must hasten his coming. We must hasten his coming. We must hasten his coming. So run I, not like one who runs in vain. I do not throw my blows in the air. These are the times to redeem the times. Many souls have gone to hell. We must redeem the times. Many goals have gone to hell. We must redeem the times. Many gifts have been buried. I pray today that a teacher, you will stand in your place. I pray today that as an evangelist, you will not be intimidated by another person's call, because unto every one of us is giving grace. grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I may be a little finger, but I can make a difference. I may just be the leg, I can make a lot of difference. I may be a hidden part, but from the backside, I can make a difference. I came to tell you, you can make a difference. God is looking for ordinary men to use. All Moses had was just a rod. As he put a rod before the Lord, it became a rod of God. I pray for you that may you be before the Lord. May you be a yielded sacrifice for the Lord in the day of power. His people shall be willing. I feel the calling of God. I feel the calling of God that transcends time. Men, they are responding to something in eternity. I feel it. I see it coming alive. Your calling is coming alive. Your gifting is coming alive. Something is coming alive in you. You will not be ordinary. You have trapped that gift for longer. You have trapped that ministry for longer. But this afternoon, your gifting is coming alive. Your gifting, look at it. All over this place, I see people whose destinies are trapped within them. There is an explosion. You have sat on your gift for too long. You have sat on that calling for too long. It's time to arise. Many perish daily. Many perish daily because we do nothing. May it not be said of you that you are an unprofitable servant. May it not be said of you. May it not be said of you. May it not be said of you that you are an unprofitable servant. We came to bring profit to the master. We came to bring profit. He says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, which is in you, and you are not your own. He said, for you were bought with a price. Beloved, your life doesn't belong to you. He has bought you with a price. You have been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. You have been bought. You do not belong to yourself. You can't live how you like. You can go where you like.
Lift up your hands all over this place. We have been bought with a price. He owns us. He owns us. He owns us. I believe that the missing message of the modern church is a preparation for eternity. Even Abraham in the Old Testament, Bible says when he was called to receive a land that he should receive for inheritance, he left not knowing where he was going. Dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of him of the same promise. And Bible says if they were mindful of the country they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. But they now seek a better country, which is at heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call their God, in that he has prepared for them a city. Beloved, see, many of us, when we call God God, he's ashamed of us because we are so mindful of the world, this earth we came from, and we are not mindful of that eternal city. But I believe this afternoon that there is an impartation for men to begin to think beyond this world once again. Men to begin to see that we are just pilgrims and strangers here. For here we have no continuing city. But we seek one to come. We are just pilgrims and strangers. We just came to pass through this world as pilgrims and strangers. We just came to make an impact. And we came to impact before we depart. We are just pilgrims. Before, the Bible says, when Jacob was dying, he leaned upon his staff. And a staff is for traveling. When Jacob met Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, how old are you? He didn't say, I am 120 years. He didn't say, I am 80 years. He says, all the days of the years of my pilgrimage. The man understood he was a pilgrim. That pilgrim mentality of the church has been lost. You see, the reason why God made them dwell in tents is to show us that this place is just a temporal place. We are in this tent of the body. But one of these days, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for a savior who will change our foul bodies and fashion it after his glorious body. Beloved, I came to tell you that Jesus is coming soon. See, one of the only times I had the opportunity to listen to the late Lester Sumrall, his very last sermon he preached, he said the Lord woke him up few minutes to 12 midnight, and the Lord told him that many sing about my coming. Many people preach about my coming, But they live like I'm never coming. Beloved, I wish I could. I don't know how to explain to people. We haven't believed God enough. When God is demanding for something, he has something better in mind. Look at Abraham. He waited so long for Isaac. Isaac was his everything. When he laid Isaac upon the altar, you see, the movies deceive us. Abraham, he woke up, he was crying. Bible says he woke up early in the morning, speaking of the level of his obedience. Early, he was in a hurry to please God. Bible says that when he lifted the thing to kill Isaac, God showed him a ram whose horns were locked in the ticket. You know, the ram will defend itself with the horn. You see, if you come to the place where you are devoted to the Lord, God takes the fight out of the blessing. God takes the fight out of the blessing. The horn would have fought, and that's how we must be. You must be ready for the Lord to use you. Everywhere he sends me, I will be. And those who do this, they gain everything. Jesus wasn't lying when he told us that whosoever loses this and this, and we have come to Christ, but we have lost nothing. We want everything plus Christ. But Bible says Abraham left not knowing where he was going. Then Genesis 24, Bible says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Beloved, you may start out as a fool in ministry, but it's only a matter of time. You see, in this world, some people may look like fools, but soon on the other side of eternity, we'll know who the wise ones really are. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Look at how he ended the Bible. He said, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:7, Revelation 22:10. I mean, repeat that three times. Revelation 22:12, I come quickly. His approach is coming quickly. You see, Jesus has not come, doesn't mean that he will not come. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. But one of these days, in the twinkling of an eye. You see, today I'm just praying two prayers. One prayer is that God should separate us unto his will. And another prayer is that God should restore the eternity consciousness back to his church. If you are mindful of how a soul, you see, Monday I told my church that souls are dying daily. We can't go out occasionally. The day you may be ready to evangelize, maybe that soul's funeral, the soul will not be there forever. Soul winning is missing. I'm telling you, it's an event now to be organized. Evangelism Sunday, we are not evangelizing. But there is a recovery, I believe, that God will give people his heart. Can you close your eyes for me everywhere you are? There is a working in your heart. There is a working in your heart. There is a working in your heart. God is stirring some things. God is stirring some things. People's destinies are coming alive. They'll just know it's like Moses. Who even so knew the will of God, he went ahead of God. He knew he had to deliver his people. Lift up your hands for me. There is an activation of the anointing within. It's all over. I'm seeing it. It's all over. And listen, I saw something like tongues of fire, which were coming upon people. So I asked in a vision, what is this that I see? Then the Lord said, it's because many things have been left undone. He was anointing some people to move with speed to accomplish things in the body of Christ. Lift up your hands for me. Where are those seven people? Where are those? I see that fire coming upon them. I saw it. I saw it with speed. Please bring them to me now. Kadabosha. Men of God, please pray with them. Okay, just pray with them. I'm telling you, Samson caught foxes and lighted their tails and sent them into the Philistine vineyard. I see God lighting the tails of some people. I see people who are coming on fire, who are running into the field of the Philistines, the field of the world. I'm telling you, there are people God is anointing for the banking industry. There are people God is anointing for the medical field. There are people God is anointing for ministry. Various places, their callings are coming alive. Their callings are coming alive. Their callings is coming. It's coming alive. It's coming alive. That fire, that fire. Ha, 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 ha. It's happening. It's happening. Hora tekete tatete zade shatata mama sese kadada sha si si si. Suddenly Listen. I want to tell you something. My time is almost up. Wow. I just have a mess. Let me just tell you something. You see, I told you about the movement of the cloud. And as I stood there, suddenly I would see a cloud over the people. See, something's about to happen. Just like the way they were led by visible clouds. You see, our clouds. Oh. You people, relax small for me. The spirit of a prophet is subject to them. See, let me just tell you what I saw. I saw a cloud over the people of God. So I'm inquiring, you know, like I'm inquiring. What does this mean? Then suddenly I had the answer. You see, all over the room, the eyes and the ears of people are about to be open. Not just to be seeing things, but to see the plans and purposes of God. It's happening all over the room. All over. It's happening all over. Jesus said, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. All over the room, everywhere you are, may the Lord open your eyes. May the Lord open your ears. Receive a prophetic impartation. Discernment. Please relax on this. See, it's happening. My time is up. See, the grace. A grace for discernment is coming upon people to separate the common from the uncommon, the sacred from the divine. Oof. Receive that prophetic impartation. Listen, can some ushers go to the far back to my right for me? That's there are a lot of angelic activity there. A lot of angelic activity there. A lot. Listen, I saw angels and I saw horn and was full of oil. Receive it. Listen, I have to do this final thing. Please, I have to do this final thing and close the meeting. See, please lift up your hands and close your eyes for me. The Lord just showed me people here. There are so many people who cannot fulfill their assignment and all these things because the devil has bound them. Yeah. There are people who can't even see because their eyes are veiled. Listen, there are people who are under spells. What I see is what I'm seeing. So they are just moving around circles in life. But God has a purpose for them. Even that man with the legion, God brought him out to preach in 10 cities. Look, all over this room, man, people who are bound, you know, sometimes because of addictions, because of guilt, because of many things, they can't serve the Lord. God is about to set people free all over in the room. All over in the room. By the count of 7, I see the drawn swords of the angels of the Lord. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. We send an anointing for deliverance. There's somebody with a terrible stomach ulcer. I wish I could have some concentration to minister. Listen, man of God, I will see somebody whose stomach is so injured. so injured. Listen, I'm seeing the person's healing now. Listen, even as the person is here, the person is feeling all manner of things like the pain, but God is even healing people for the work. Listen, by the count of seven, I'm just going to drop the mic, but see, God will set people free. God will heal people. And God will consecrate people for his assignment. Because seven is just a number of perfection in time, that's all. Not that seven is a unique number. Thank you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. For the Lord is that Spirit. For the Lord is that Spirit. For the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, that you are brooding over your people. Oh, look at the burdens being lifted. Look at the yokes. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. To serve God. I prophesy healings. Chains are breaking off people's feet. Chains are breaking off people's feet. Oh, Rabashando. To the Vekoso. But the Vekoso Radiko. Remashando Koto. Rebasete. They will serve the Lord. They will serve the Lord in their generation. They will serve the Lord in their generation. The holy oil. And anoint Aaron and his sons for the priesthood office. For the priesthood office. Korabasha. Oh, be healed everywhere you need healing. Oh. When I say I want to end, then God is saying something else. Final, final. Doctor, please you pick my tablet for me so that final, I finish. Listen, you know, I said we have to run the race. There are many who got tired. There are some who got injured while they were running. There are some who were even attacked. They are lying down. But I'm seeing a grace for restoration. People will begin to fulfill their assignments. Listen, that guilt cannot stay. Look, that grace is coming. That grace, by the count of four, the grace of restoration. Some of you, after you fell, you've never felt good about yourself. You have given up on the assignment of God for your life. You have given up on the call of God for your life. But God is restoring what the locust, what the palmer worm, what the canker worm has eaten. All over the room is happening right now. It's happening. The restoration of spiritual gifts. You will dream again. You will sing again. You will preach again. You will prophesy again. It's happening. I see mantles. It will jump from one person to the other. I'll see mantles jumping from one person to the other. By the shout, something is being activated on your inside. I see wells breaking forth. Out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water. Out of your belly is flowing rivers. Utterance is being given to some people. Apostolic mandates. Apostolic mandates. Laratata. Destiny is calling. Destiny is calling. Destiny. Destiny. So we thank you for this afternoon. To you do we owe all the praise and the glory and adoration. We thank you for showing us the mystery of your will according to your good pleasure which you have purposed in yourself. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you even take them deeper in your way and deeper in their work with you. Father, I thank you that even in this program, the best is yet to come. We pray that you bless us, oh God. And we pray, oh God, that cause us to leave this meeting to impact our generation for you. To impact. Father, help us remember that we are pilgrims and strangers. Father, help us remember that you are coming soon. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us see the vision of the harvest. Help us see the coming kingdom. Help us to be prepared, even as our works will be tried by fire. Will be tried by fire. Just lift up your hands for me as a sign of consecration to the Lord. Just yield. Just yield. Just yield. Just yield. Just yield to the Lord. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Wow. What a meeting. See, God is canceling even surgeries in the bodies of people. God is healing people for them to serve God. Serve God. Man of God, I believe that by the time this meeting will end, the kind of graces and anointings that will come upon people. Beloved, and you see, such a meeting is uncommon. Can we just use 2 minutes to pray for gifts and callings come? This thing must go further. Regions, nations, people must. The laborers are few. The laborers are few. Tell God, tell God. A training center, Lord, a training. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We pray. We pray. As in the end time, you said, a quick work will the Lord do. You'll cut it short in righteousness. We pray that you give them divine speed. We pray that many will be used. I pray that many will join the team and the train to raise many young people that will not live for the world, will not live for that which perisheth and the applauses of men, but for the eternal vision. We thank you, Holy Father. We thank you that this is done in Jesus' precious name. Amen.